live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. Amazing, awesome day. So first of all, football starts tonight. In order to celebrate, I went on I went on Arian Foster's show on Twitch. He's known as Bobby Fino as well, and that's his channel on Twitch. Check it out. And at some point, I think he called me the sword of the left. And I was like, yes! How's that for an awesome nickname? To start the NFL season, not a big deal. We're making shirts immediately. The sword of the left.
Oh my God, you're the most unbearable person on the planet. Okay.
Agreed.
I got a better compliment. Okay. Uh-huh. I like simplicity, and he referred to me as dope.
Well,
feel very good about myself.
Like, do the Obama like thing with the but you, and then it'll say dope. Okay. What? You just you're the one who said it. Anyways.
Not okay. Like dope, boomer. Not like, oh, what a dope. More like dope.
I know.
Like that.
Yeah. Kind of millennial. No, not really. Anyways. All right. Yeah. Okay, look, guys, we got a lot of shows for you guys. So let's just cut through this stuff like we've got a sword or something. Tonight, BMU, between me and Uger, Jaime Camille, one of the most popular TV stars in the world, joins us. So that's twitch.tv/TYT. He's awesome. He's been on TYT before. We're going to get into his life story. How did he get to be where he is now? He's also, by the way, part of the Imagine Awards that we are exclusively presenting. I'm actually really psyched about it. It's the 35th annual Imagine Awards, and it's recognizing and honoring accomplishments by Latinos in the entertainment industry. Anna and I have been there before, but this time we're streaming it, and it's going to be September 24th at 8:00 Eastern. TYT.com/live, obviously. YouTube, Facebook, YouTube TV, Roku, Zumo, Pluto TV, Comcast, Xfinity, X1 and Flex, and Samsung TV Plus. Those are all different places where you could find TYT and this particular award ceremony, because it is on exclusively with us. So make sure you check that out. And Ida Rodriguez is also part of it as well. All right, so that's very exciting. Also, Donald Trump's idiocy is very exciting. And we got a lot of that on the show today. And we have a super fun poll. So let's do it.
All right. So there have been many revelations in Bob Woodward's upcoming book, Rage. But unfortunately, a lot of those revelations were buried because of news also from his book that Donald Trump intentionally downplayed the severity of coronavirus. Now, I think it's important to mention some of the other revelations because it would be an absolute scandal under any other administration. So for instance, let's consider the fact that Trump's own defense secretary, former defense secretary, considered getting the cabinet together to oust Trump because he believed that Trump is mentally and morally incapable of executing the duties of the office. So former defense secretary James Mattis, former director of national intelligence Dan Coats, and former secretary of state Rex Tillerson, all hired at the start of Trump's presidency, are quoted detailing their frustrations with Trump's inability to focus, their alarm over his refusal to accept facts or listen to experts, their fears over the consequences instances of his impulsive decision making. And one top official even suspected Russian President Vladimir Putin had something on Trump. So we'll break down all the different instances that we know of so far that were mentioned in the book. It hasn't been released yet. It will be released in the coming days. But this is based on reporting from CNN. Their reporters have actually read the book and have relayed this information. So for instance, Mattis, James Mattis, is quoted criticizing the president both for his chaotic process and ill-advised go-it-alone policy decisions. When Trump says he wants to withdraw US troops from Afghanistan and South Korea, Mattis privately told Coates, "That's dangerous," Woodward reports. The president has no moral compass. Now, I mean, look, I gotta be honest, I certainly disagree with some of these individuals when it comes to their foreign policy desires, but that doesn't take away from the fact that their concerns about Donald Trump being a danger to the country, the fact that they point out how irrational he is, how impulsive he is. I agree with them on that. But I don't want anyone to get the impression that I'm excusing some of the terrible foreign policy decisions that these types of people have wanted and pushed the United States into in the past. I actually think we should have pulled out of Afghanistan, so there's that. But Cenk, why don't you jump in?
Yeah, so look, there's more idiocy where that came from and people being concerned about his mental state. But first, look, guys, two different issues as usual here. One is the particular policy desires of Jim Mattis or Dan Coates. And so I agree with Dan Coates that Trump is being controlled by the Russians. I know a lot of people on the left don't, and they're screaming at the top of their lungs now, Russiagate, and it's weird how they agree completely with the right wing. But anyway, we've gone over that a million times. My point is, whether you agree with Dan Coates or not, whether you agree with Mattis on his foreign policy, which I do not, what they're saying is something else. They're saying, look, this guy is making decisions that are so erratic, so out of control. And when we're in a room with him, it is clear he just does not understand any of the issues, nor does he care about how his decisions affect any other human being. It's so dire that Mattis is considering convening the cabinet to say that the guy is just not capable of the job. You don't do that because you have a policy disagreement about Afghanistan. You do that because your hair is on fire because you've been in the room with him dozens of times, and the guy's a complete moron and doesn't understand anything and doesn't care to understand anything. So this would be the largest scandal by an order of magnitude for any president of my lifetime. It's like the third largest story about Woodward's book, and there's all these other stories. It's buried because it's buried in a mountain of Donald Trump incompetency and scandal.
Yeah, and Dan Coates certainly agreed with Jim Mattis on his assessment of Trump. In fact, he's quoted in the book as saying, to him, meaning to Trump, a lie is not a lie. It's just what he thinks. He doesn't know the difference between the truth and a lie. Coates was also suspicious of Trump's relationship with Vladimir Putin, just to give you some more details into what he was thinking. Coates continued to harbor the secret belief, one that had grown rather than lessened, although unsupported by intelligence proof, that Putin had something on Trump. Coates and his top staffers examined the intelligence as carefully as possible, Woodward writes. There was no proof, period. But Coates's doubts continued, never fully dissipating. And while, you know, there isn't evidence, the one thing that I will say is I can kind of understand why someone would think that Donald Trump has some sort of shady relationship with Vladimir Putin because of some of the decisions that Donald Trump has made, right? That wouldn't necessarily benefit the American people. You know, commentary that was needlessly overwhelmingly complimentary toward Putin. I get all that. Just because Coates suspected it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. But I can understand why Coates suspected it, just based on the way Donald Trump acts around Vladimir Putin. Mattis is also quoted as saying Trump took foreign policy actions that showed adversaries how to destroy America. That's what we're showing them, how to isolate us from our allies, how to take us down, and it's working very well.
Wow. By the way, Coates is not the only person quoted in the book as saying that he has an uncomfortable relationship with the truth, Trump does. And Mattis is not the only one cited as saying that Trump has no idea what he's doing. In fact, of all people, Jared Kushner, the de facto president, apparently said if you want to understand Trump, one of the books you should read is Alice in Wonderland. And here's the killer quote from that. He said, if you don't know where you're going, any path will get you there. Wow, that's his son-in-law who he handed half the government to, saying, yeah, he obviously, the president is a schmuck and doesn't know where he's going at all. So when he winds up somewhere, he's like, wow, this is where we meant to be, isn't it? So that's what they think of him privately, even the people closest to him. And yet 45% of the country is considering voting for him, because the people that are close to him, that have been in the room with him and that know how deeply, deeply unintelligent, unprepared, uncaring he is, will not speak out forcefully other than whispers as anonymous sources and to Bob Woodward. Why? Because if you talk to Woodward, that increases your status in Washington. If you break etiquette, we're talking about etiquette. We're talking about etiquette. And you're worried that that'll reduce your status if you're Jim Mattis or John Kelly or Dan Coats for speaking out publicly. If you're a real patriot, you speak out right now and say, I saw it with my own two eyes. The guy's a total blithering idiot. Whatever you do, do not let him get control of the wheel again. He will end democracy. They know it's true. They need to come out and say it on camera. That's the only hope to break through to independents who still haven't made up their mind.
Yeah, I mean, independents who still haven't made up their minds. I would love to meet those people, because it's just hard to understand how that's possible. But I hear you. I'm sure that those people exist. But you know, when it comes to Trump's base, as we've said a million times, they're immovable. I mean, this type of information doesn't in any way change the way that they feel about Trump, because this is, I mean, look, these are accusations that have been made against Trump forever, right? That he's a danger to our democratic process. I think that Trump's hardcore supporters actually know that. They just don't really value democracy as much as they pretended to before. And why do I say that? Well, they support cops who engage in extrajudicial killings. They support armed militias who show up to these protests and carry out vigilante violence. I mean, all sorts of stuff that's supposed to go against what this country is fundamentally about, they've supported. So I don't think that anything Trump's former cabinet members have to say about him is going to change their minds. But I think you do make a good point about some independent voters, however many there are left, who haven't made up their minds yet. There is one other part to these revelations that I want to bring up. So Trump, honestly, this is the least surprising, does not want to be held responsible for any of the racial division in the country. In fact, about 2 days after the murder of George Floyd, he did have a conversation with Bob Woodward about division in the country, and here's what he had to say.
Hey, but let me ask you this. I mean, we share one thing in common. We're white, privileged. My father was a lawyer and a judge in Illinois, and we know what your dad did. And do you have any sense that that privilege has isolated and put you in a cave to a certain extent? Is it put me, and I think lots of white privileged people, in a cave, and that we have to work our way out of it to understand the anger and the pain, particularly black people feel in this country?
You really drank the Kool-Aid, didn't you? Listen to you. Wow. No, I don't feel that at all.
I don't feel that at all. So he doesn't feel any responsibility for what's going on in the country, but I think we already knew that. It's just, yeah.
So, Anna, it wasn't just that he doesn't feel any responsibility. He just doesn't feel that they are discriminated against and that they have that pain and et cetera. I mean, we saw George Floyd happen right in front of our eyes. That's the only one he expressed any degree of fake sympathy towards. The others, he didn't even bother doing fake sympathy. He immediately jumped out and said, oh, yeah, the cops are right. The cops are right. You should all bow down to the cops. And no one should ever protest the cops by kneeling in football games, etc. So it's super obvious where his loyalties lie. And no, he just thinks black people have it coming. And he's a monster. And but everybody already knew that. And Anna, look, I just want to be super clear. And then I want to say one more thing that's in the book that's really damning. Look. That, and I was talking about this with NFL legendary Foster today, who happened to give me the nickname of Sword of the Left, but it's not a big deal. anyway, the 28% that's MAGA, they're immovable. So don't ever try to move them. It's not that they're voting for Trump despite his racism and stupidity and ignorance and fascism. No, they're voting for him because of that. Sad day that that's 28% of the country, but it is. So, and I take that from polling and on different issues, etc. But right now, Trump is polling anywhere between 42 to 45 in the presidential election. Now, that's terrible for an incumbent, and he's likely to lose. But it's still way, way too high. But that means there is a giant chunk of the country between 28% and 45% that is still movable in one way or another. And so, if it insulting fallen soldiers and calling them suckers and losers doesn't do it, and if it turns out, his own cabinet saying he's so morally and mentally incapable of leading that we were thinking of ousting him doesn't do it, well, then maybe that 45% is immovable. But my guess is it is to some degree. And you'd be, and the reason why they're still in the middle is because they barely watch the news. They're very, very low consumers of news. So that's why it's important for Mattis and Kelly and others to go in front of a TV camera and make a big deal out of it so it could actually reach people who don't normally follow the news. And finally, from the book, he also apparently did not write one or two love letters to Kim Jong-un. He wrote, they exchanged 27 letters where they're fawning over each other. Kim Jong-un calls Trump His Excellency. Oy. And then, but way worse, Kim Jong-un brags about how he executed his uncle and gives gory details. And Trump is perfectly happy. After he read that, on tape, Trump said that Kim Jong-un and him fell in love. And even today, as late as today, he's like, Kim Jong-un is really healthy. Good to see that, people underestimated him. He's cheering on a dictator, a brutal genocidal dictator. By the way, one that happens to be communist.
Right. Can I read you his exact? Done that,
it'd be game over.
I got to read you his exact tweet. This was tweeted today. He tweeted, Kim Jong-un is in good health. Never underestimate him, with an exclamation mark. No, the guy is insane. And you're right. Look, it's amazing because the line of attack against China is these are communists, these are dangerous people. And for some reason, Kim Jong-un, who is a brutal dictator, who also functions under, authoritarian rule, but claims to be a communist, that's totally okay. We fell in love. We fell in love. Don't you dare underestimate him. It's kind of incredible.
So that's the power of propaganda, because since the Republican Party started calling it communist China, now the media is starting to call it communist China.
Yep.
But they never call it communist North Korea, so the media never calls it communist North Korea. And I looked at the social media reaction to that tweet, Anna. And you know what the right wing was saying? Well, it turns out he is healthy, so that's true. And what? Do you want us to overestimate him? No, Trump is brilliant the way that he has complimented Kim Jong-un this way. So there's no end to it. So those, again, don't ever worry about that 28%. They're hopeless. They're on a completely different planet. We couldn't reach them if we tried. So I'll end on a fun note. Izzy Sanchez on YouTube Super Chat says, Anna's look after Cenk says he's celebrating for being called the sword of the left. That was classic.
I didn't even know the camera went to me. Well, that's all how right. I felt. All right, well, we got to take a break. So let's do that. And when we come back, Donald Trump attempts to defend himself. We'll see if his excuses hold up.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of On the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All right, back on the Young Turks. I want to thank everybody that's contributing to tyt.com/go. It's making a giant difference. And look, together, we're the sword of the darkness. We're the sword of the left, sword in the darkness, by the way. We have a t-shirt about that. tyt.com/go. We got the thermometer. There we go, 38,504. That's a wonderful number, but way, way off from what we're trying to get to. 200,000 is just 10% of what the billionaires give just PragerU every year. It's unbelievable. It's actually 10% per month. Let me tell you, other way you can help the show is by going to our sponsors, and this is a really good one. I want to thank our sponsor, Privacy. It's a free secure payment tool which instantly autofills your virtual credit card numbers when you buy something online, so you don't have to give your real credit card number to merchants. If there's ever a data breach, you're protected. Start taking control of your online security. And when you go to privacy.com/TYT, they'll give you $5 just for signing up. So it's a great deal either way, okay? Or all in all ways. This is now fun YouTube. I'm sorry. Our members section at tyt.com/join. Zictor says, "Jank, every time there's a Spanish word, just ask Anna to pronounce it correctly. I initially thought it was something Arabic or Turkish. LOL." That's exactly what Brent said too. Imahen Awards.
Imahen. It's super easy. Imahen. Like you're overthinking. Imahen. That's it.
Imahen. I'm so bad at pronunciation, also in English, by the way. We're exclusively carrying those on September 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern, so check that out. And Jaime Camille is up for Best Actor, and he's going to join me on twitch.tv/TYT tonight at 8 o'clock. Janice Mancini just signed up, and David Brooker just signed up, both for Young Turk membership on YouTube. You can do that by hitting the join button below the video if you're watching on YouTube. And just a nice little note here. Franklin Sharp Slicer on YouTube Super Chat says, "Anna and Cenk, you make us think. I raise my glass to you. Clink." Okay, well, you know what? Right back at you, Franklin. I raise my glass to you. That. Okay, twostrongcoffee.com/TYT.
All right, you ready for news?
Yes. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. All right, great. So Donald Trump is now attempting to defend himself after Bob Woodward has released audio of Trump from as early as February, admitting that he's intentionally downplaying the severity of coronavirus. Now, nearly 200,000 Americans have died as a result of coronavirus. We're quickly approaching that number. And so is there anything that Trump can possibly say that can excuse his awful leadership and behavior? Well, let's listen.
Did you mislead? Well, I think if you said in order to reduce panic, perhaps that's so. The fact is, I'm a cheerleader for this country. I love our country. And I don't want people to be frightened. I don't want to create panic, as you say. And certainly I'm not going to drive this country or the world into a frenzy. We want to show confidence. We want to show strength. We want to show strength as a nation. But we don't want to instill panic. We don't want to jump up and down and start shouting that we have a problem that is a tremendous problem, scare everybody.
Now, of course, as we know, Donald Trump's candidacy literally depends on him spreading panic and his fear mongering. But I also want to note that even if he were concerned about the downsides of leading to panic in the country, there's a way to communicate factual medical information to Americans so they can keep themselves safe without panicking. Now, I want to share a snippet of a video that I saw last night. I thought it was excellent. It's done by Bo of the Fifth Column. I believe he has a Patreon page, so check him out. But he's a Southerner. And if you were to just come across his content, you might think that he's a Trump supporter, but he certainly spoke the truth in a recent video. Let's take a look.
I don't want to create a panic, says the guy who on December 18th of 2019 tweeted out, "Well, they're not after me. They're after you." Who's they? We don't know. Just something to be afraid of. Some mythical creature. Some mythical enemy. This is a man who fear-mongered so much, the American people are building a wall on the southern border and locking up toddlers over caravans that have been coming for years. Had people afraid of bathrooms. Said the suburbs were going to be destroyed. There's the deep state out to get him, shadowy dark forces. The stock market's gonna crash if he doesn't get reelected. Cities are gonna burn because Biden's gonna defund the police, and the American dream will be destroyed by low-income housing. Sounds like he wants to frighten people.
You should check out that full video. It was excellent. Cenk, jump in.
Yeah. His entire campaign is based on panic. They're coming for you in the suburbs. Imagine a Biden presidency. The Mexicans are coming. The Muslims are coming. Panic! Panic. Hilarious that he's saying, well, I didn't want people to panic. So look, other than an excuse, if you're trying to decipher what he meant, because in the March 19th audio tape of him talking to Bob Woodward, he clearly says, I'm downplaying this. I'm downplaying this. But he, the last sentence is, he says, I don't want to create a panic. So if you're saying, well, okay, but he did say it back in March, right? What is he referring to? The stock market. He didn't want to panic in the markets, because if the markets go down, he thought then his chance of winning the presidency was much, much lower. And remember, of course, he and most of his friends have tons of money in the stock market. So there was a couple of reasons why he didn't want the stock market to panic. You guys, panicking you is Trump 101. So it was actually a double whammy. It was, I'm gonna lie to the American people, pretend it's safe when I know for a fact it's not safe. I mean, he said that on February 7th, right? And but meanwhile, my whole objective is to not worry about your health, but to worry about the health of all of our financial assets. Guy's sick.
Yeah, he really is. And you make such a great point, Cenk, about the stock market and what he really meant when he told Bob Woodward about not wanting to panic people. I actually hadn't thought about that perspective, and you're absolutely right, because just today, literally just today, the Trump campaign released an ad that's meant to make you panic. Take a look.
This is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not gonna stop, and they should not.
These people are tearing up our lives.
A third straight night, Portland police declared a riot.
The vast majority of the protests have been peaceful.
Over the weekend, 59 officers injured and 47 people arrested.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announcing a proposal to cut $1 billion from the New York City Police Department.
We need to completely dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department.
You guys get the picture. Trump loves panic. He thrives off of panicking people. And I think all of his actions during the pandemic has demonstrated that the only thing he cares about is the economy and the stock market. I mean, think about it. One of the reasons why he was really downplaying the pandemic was because he wanted to open the economy back up prematurely. Just today, he was tweeting about how schools should reopen, despite the fact that we have more and more people dying literally every single day during this pandemic. We have not done anything that's necessary to at least minimize the damage of this pandemic, hinder the pandemic. We have on average 1,000 people in America dying every single day. So it's not about avoiding panic. It's about being a scared little bunker boy who doesn't have the leadership chops to do what it takes to keep people safe, while also being a greedy pig who only thinks about the economy and how he can line his own pockets, period.
You know what that ad was? That was basically mainlining panic. I mean, that was just directly into the main, like, look at this. By the way, she looks like it's a mugshot of all these people, and they put Kamala Harris in it. But racial undertones, they would never. The entire ad is like, scary black people. Oh my God, they're coming to the suburbs. You suburban housewives, as Donald Trump referred to you, right? You should all panic. Today, Rudy Giuliani was talking to the McCloskeys, the St. Louis couple. You know what he said? He said they were worried that they were going to die, that they were going to be burned to death and raped. The protesters had no weapons. They were totally peaceful. They were led by a future congresswoman. They're like, we were worried. They were black. They were black. We were worried we were going to get raped. Did you see them? All right. Anyway, all they do is create panic. So this disingenuous thing is ridiculous as usual, but you know, we'll see. Can we get anyone in that 45% of cult 45 to move, or are they like, well, of course you should lie to us so my Uncle Bob can get coronavirus and die. I'm glad you did, so that way Uncle Bob was entirely unpanicked when he died.
Yeah, it's really crazy. All right, well, we got to move on to some drama in the White House. I love these kinds of stories. So let's move on. Let's talk about it. Looks like there's a lot of blame going around, a lot of finger pointing in the White House when it comes to who directed or who allowed Donald Trump to sit down and get interviewed by Bob Woodward. How did he have 18, nay, 19 conversations we just learned about today with Bob Woodward? How did it get approved? Well, all this drama in the White House makes for a good segment of As the White House Turns.
Made some very big mistakes.
I asked for his resignation.
I'm disappointed in the Attorney General.
So, seems like everyone in the White House acknowledges that Donald Trump is a doofus and can't be trusted to sit down and do an interview with normal journalists, people like Bob Woodward. So when the first excerpts dropped, blame was immediately cast inside the West Wing over who let Trump talk to Woodward 18 times in audio that was recorded. Now, after Woodward was done writing his book, apparently he called Woodward up for a 19th conversation to see what was in the book. And Woodward was like, yeah, you know, it's a tough book. It's a tough book. And I'm guessing Trump now realizes exactly what that means. One White House official was quoted as saying in Politico, sometimes the president does a non-traditional thing and you get a surprising result. But I don't think any of us recommended doing it.
Can I translate that?
Yeah,
the
go ahead.
Translation for that is the president's an idiot and there's nothing we can do. Literally every single one of us told him, do not sit down with Bob Woodward and speak to him 18 different times on tape and not get an agreement that the book is not going to come out until after the election or ever What is wrong with you? And he was like, oh, no, I got this. I'm going to outsmart Bob Woodward. And I think he likes me. Oh, my God, Bob Woodward's such a big journalist. And I can't believe he's paying attention to me. You know, he still doesn't get it. You're the president. Of course, Bob Woodward is paying attention to you, you schmuck. And so he just never understood it. And so it's his giant ego combined with his tiny intellect that led him to walk in and think that he was going to prove what a great president he is to Bob Woodward. And then it comes out right before the election. Of course, he's trying to sell a book. What did you think was going to happen, you schmuck of schmucks? And so that is
exactly.
People who work for Donald Trump telling you
exactly.
In public, sorry, it's not us. He's the dumb one.
Yeah. And, you know, they don't really hide the fact that they feel that way. For instance, his own chief of staff, Mark Meadows, went on cable news to basically share just how little faith he has in Trump doing these types of interviews. Let's take a look.
I'm not surprised that the president was on the phone with Bob Woodward. His access to the White House is probably something that I would not have recommended had I been in the chief of staff role very early on. But it's the typical thing that the president does. He believes that he has nothing to hide. And that's the great thing about him.
I mean, that's a fun way to twist it. That's definitely a fun way to twist it.
Yeah, that's basically Mark Meadows saying he's a dum-dum. I would have tackled him before I let him talk to Bob Woodward, but you can't tackle the guy. So go, no, I got this. I'm really smart. I'm going to tell Bob Woodward how smart I am. How'd that work out for you?
So the update to this story, by the way, is that after the initial finger pointing, the White House officials realized that, okay, wait, maybe we need to have a united message on this, and maybe we shouldn't talk about how much of a bad idea it is for Trump to be interviewed by reporters. So let's just all pretend like we were okay with it and that we recommended it. So CNN aired right before this show went live, saying that all of the White House officials thought it was a great idea for Trump to get interviewed by Bob Woodward.
Sure. That's Trump getting angry at them when he sees it on TV and turning to them and say, are you guys calling me a dum-dum? Are you trying to blame me for it? Okay, now you all of you go out there and tell everybody what a great idea I had in talking to Bob Woodward. Okay, and that's literally what's happening right in front of your eyes. And can we solve the mystery of who's responsible for Trump talking to Woodward? I'm pretty sure it's the guy on the phone, Donald Trump.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. I'm glad you brought that up. So a few more things I want to quickly mention about that. So there are all these theories about who encouraged him to do these interviews. But honestly, he's now said twice on the record, once while being interviewed by Hannity last night and once today during a White House press conference, that Trump wanted to talk to Bob Woodward, that he thought that Bob Woodward would somehow write a positive book on him, right? So he was under the impression that Woodward was somehow miraculously on his side and wanted to like write some sort of glowing biography about him. I mean, it just shows you how unbelievably delusional Donald Trump really is. And I also want to note that he would call Bob Woodward unexpectedly out of nowhere. He didn't, communicate with his press people. He didn't, notify his staff about it. He'd just be like, hey, yo, you know what? I'm tripping on this addy. Let me hit him up because I can't sleep. And just go off on how coronavirus is real and a lot of people are dying and I'm not going to do anything about it. Awesome. And then he'll write a glowing biography about me. He is the dumbest person on the planet.
Yeah, except for everyone who works for him and everyone who's going to vote for him. That's your fearless leader right there. Look, guys, I get that Woodward sucks up sometimes to people in government to get access, but Trump is not savvy enough to understand that Woodward thinks he's going to get a free shot at Trump here because the establishment doesn't like Trump. So Woodward is a person who cares deeply about his status in Washington. And the best way to burnish that status is by getting access to Trump and then revealing damaging things about Trump before the election. I mean, that's Washington 101. A child would know that. And that's why his advisors didn't want him to do it. But you can't stop the president from calling Bob Woodward at 3 a.m. to brag about, by the way, another revelation in the book, about how he got Mohammed bin Salman off. He said, oh man, Congress was not gonna let him get away with it, but basically I alone stopped them and quote, saved his ass. That's the guy who executed and ordered the dismembering of Khashoggi, a columnist for the Washington Post. He's telling probably the most famous Washington Post reporter of all time about how he brags about how he saved the guy who dismembered a Washington Post columnist. How do you stop something that stupid? It is a force of nature. It can't be stopped.
When we come back from the break, Tucker Carlson has his own theories on how these interviews went down or why they went down. And in the post game today, I'm coming for Bob Woodward. Okay, I get it. He's publishing this book. I get that this audio is important. I have a big problem with the fact that he sat on it, and I'll explain why when we talk about it in the post game. But he has responded to the critics, and I'm not buying it. So if you're not a member, you should become one. Go to tyt.com/join. You don't want to miss today's post game. With that said, let's take a break. We'll be
at TYT. We frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Be right back.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Let's go to member comments right away. Spicy Flanders says, Cenk is the sword of the left, then Anna is the Wonder Woman of progressives. Well, I was on Around the Nation with Jeff Waldorf yesterday, and we talked about the TYT cinematic universe. And Anna's more like Captain Marvel, to be fair to her, which is the strongest of the superheroes. But anyways, so
that was nice, Cenk.
Okay,
I like that.
Okay, already regret it. Okay. No, I'm kidding. Folks who just joined on YouTube, a deep thinker, founder MP Leigh Smith, Jeffrey Kelly, and Liz Smith. If you hit the join button right below the video on YouTube, you become a member, and we see your names too. YouTube super chat, is it just me, Rodin? Fox is the problem. You have to expose Fox without looking like an attack. People are hyper defensive against attacks against Fox because they just don't see it. Fox is the problem, and I will attack very, very vigorously, and I don't mind if they see it coming. And we'll show examples. In fact, we're going to do that in a second. Megan Bramble says, TYT has been the one thing keeping me sane. Thank you. Thank you, Megan. And Ray Riley, also using YouTube Super Chat. If the thugs at Shop TYT make a TDR and a Sword of the Left shirt, I'll buy both. So shoptyt.com, now you're on notice. I love it. And I just general shout out to everyone on Twitch, all of you guys who resub with Prime, etc. But specifically, Tales420 gifted 6 subs to viewers, and that's their 24th gifted sub to the channel. So we love you guys. Thank you for watching. And you get the show anytime if you're a member on Twitch as well. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. Tucker Carlson chose to avoid focusing on the fact that Donald Trump admitted on tape as early as February of this year that he was intentionally downplaying the severity of the pandemic. Now, that has cost hundreds of thousands of Americans their lives. But Carlson has chosen to focus on who around Trump encouraged him to be interviewed by Bob Woodward, and he has a theory.
What's surprising is that Donald Trump participated in making the book. The president sat for repeated interviews with Bob Woodward. Why in the world would he do that? Well, tonight, from a source who knows the answer to that mystery, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. It was Lindsey Graham who helped convince Donald Trump to talk to Bob Woodward. Lindsey Graham brokered that meeting. Lindsey Graham even sat in on the first interview between Bob Woodward and the president. How'd that turn out? Now, remember, Lindsey Graham is supposed to be a Republican, so why would he do something like that? You'd have to ask him. But keep in mind that Lindsey Graham has opposed, passionately opposed, virtually every major policy initiative that Donald Trump articulated when he first ran, from ending illegal immigration to pulling back from pointless wars to maintaining law and order at home. Lindsey Graham was against all of that more than many Democrats. So maybe you already know the answer.
So I'm going to respond to the substance, for lack of a better word, of what Tucker Carlson had to say there. But first, let me just note, has anyone else noticed that Tucker Carlson speaks to his audience as if he thinks they're incredibly stupid? Like he talks down at them with his tone. Like, why do you think, you dumb person, that this happened? Like, it's amazing how he has that tone and people find him appealing. Anyway, Tucker Carlson's theory fell flat immediately because on the very network he works at, Fox News, Donald Trump had an interview with Sean Hannity where he admitted that he decided to do all of this on his own. Watch.
He does hit jobs with everybody. He even did it on Obama, but constant hit jobs on Bush. I guess they did 3 books. They were all terrible. So I figured, you know, let's just give it a little shot. I'll speak to him. It wasn't a big deal. I speak to him and let's see. I don't know if the book is good or bad. I have no idea. Probably almost definitely won't read it because I don't have time to read it. But I gave it a little bit of a shot. Sounds like it's not going to be good. But if you look at what I said today, I said, don't panic.
That was the first time that Trump confessed that he decided to speak to Woodward on his own. In fact, he would call Woodward without any notice, just surprise him with phone calls. And he spoke to him on the record 18 times for the book. And so there is something that I do agree with Tucker Carlson on. But before I get to that, Cenk, thoughts?
Yeah. So first of all, in that last clip there, and then I'd give it a little shot, just a little shot. What does that mean? You're talking to a reporter on tape. If you say something damaging, it doesn't matter that you were trying to do a little shot or a big shot. It's irrelevant. You're on tape. And if you said positive things, you're also on tape for that. But of course, you're Donald Trump, so you can't help yourself. You said idiotic things. Second of all, he said, no, I probably won't read it. I don't have a lot of time. You watch TV all day and tweet. You have all the time in the world. You won't read it because you can't read past the page. Okay, so let's keep it real on that. And then finally, back to Tucker Carlson. He said, now, why in the world do you think he did that? You're right, Anna. He sounds like a lecturing fourth grade teacher talking to a bunch of kids. Like, now, Johnny and Susie, why do you think, why in the world would he do that?
Yeah.
Right. And so, Tucker, Mr. Carlson, I have a potential theory. He would do that because he's a moron. And so even if you say Lindsey Graham did a Jedi mind trick on him and convinced him, well, he still got convinced. If Lindsey Graham tried to convince me to punch myself in the face, I wouldn't do it because I'm not as dumb as Trump. But apparently, even according to your theories, Lindsey Graham's like, hey, why don't you go ruin your chance of reelection by talking to Bob Woodward? And Trump's like, that's a good idea. But you left that part out, Tucker, didn't you? By the way, no one has asked Tucker Carlson if he thinks Donald Trump is smart. Later, he will claim that he never thought Donald Trump was smart, but that he
100%
that he agreed with his policies and there was nothing he could do. He never talks about it on air. One other facet of that clip that you might not have thought of, just because it's the minutiae of politics and you might not have even seen this story earlier. Tucker Carlson is considering running for president in 2024. Lindsey Graham is a potential competitor. This is a twofer. You defend Trump, get all the Trump MAGA guys to like you, and then turn around and kneecap Lindsey Graham. Well played, Tucker.
Oh, that is an interesting perspective. But I absolutely do think that Tucker Carlson thinks that Donald Trump is dumb. I mean, think about it. Tucker Carlson's theory that Trump was manipulated by Lindsey Graham is insulting to Donald Trump. Now, do I think that Donald Trump is so stupid that he can easily be manipulated? Absolutely. But I openly insult Trump because I openly say what I really believe about Trump. Whereas Tucker Carlson plays these games. And I do agree with him, though, that Lindsey Graham does think poorly of Donald Trump. I mean, we certainly heard some of his anti-Trump commentary during the Republican primaries in the last general election. But even during Trump's term, Lindsey Graham can't help but insult Trump's intelligence over and over again. Let me give you a few examples. So this is from the next video you're about to see is from January of 2019 when there was a hearing involving William Barr. And Lindsey Graham wanted to really emphasize how Trump is such a dummy that he is not capable of reading past one page. Take a look.
I talked to his staff and I said, you know, I want to follow up and send something to Rod in writing, but is he a one pager kind of guy or you know, how much will he read? And the guy said, he's like you. He doesn't mind wading into a dense.
Don't you think President Trump is a one pager kind of guy?
Excuse me?
President Trump is a one pager kind of guy.
I suspect he is.
Okay, just remember that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, my favorite part of that video is all of it, but also the woman behind William Barr who's like smirking as they're making fun of how dumb Trump is. It's amazing. Trump was, of course, being investigated for withholding military money to Ukraine. He was holding it up in exchange for a sham investigation announcement into Joe Biden to give him a leg up for this general election. We all know that story. Well, there was also a moment when Graham insulted Donald Trump's intelligence to try to defend him against the allegations. Take a look at that.
I can tell you about the Trump policy toward the Ukraine. It was incoherent. It depends on who you talk to. They seem to be incapable of forming a quid pro quo.
Donald Trump is so dumb that he doesn't even know what a quid pro quo is. He couldn't even carry one out if he wanted to. So look, I know that Lindsey Graham, because he's admitted this, he's been transparent about it, has sucked up to Donald Trump because he wants to remain relevant. He said that in a podcast called The Daily for the New York Times. And so, yeah, he's going to do his best to lie about what he really thinks about Donald Trump because he seeks power. But every once in a while, ever so often, he will slip up and tell the truth about what he really thinks about Trump and his lack of intelligence.
So, they are so convinced that Donald Trump is so unintelligent that they brazenly say it right in front of his face. Those are two of his biggest supporters. They're like, yeah, he's a one-pager kind of guy, right? Can't read past the page. The president's a moron. He's so stupid he can't tell we're making fun of him in public, right? Right, yeah, he's a one-pager guy, yep. Okay, which leads us perfectly to our poll. And this is one of the toughest polls we have ever done. TYT.com/polls for all of them. In this case, it's TYT.com/polls/bootlickers. But again, you don't have to worry about remembering that. Just go to polls and you'll see it. So who is the most pathetic bootlicker of Donald Trump? Man, oof, this is tough. Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, Sean Hannity, or Lou Dobbs? I don't know who I'm voting for. Oh, this is going to be a close race. They are the worst of the worst. It's I can't wait to give you guys the results later. We'll have the link in the description box as always too. And finally, back to Tucker and Anna's great point about how he talks down to his audience. The one other thing that they continually think in these circles is not only is Trump stupid, they all think that Republican voters are stupid. So they think, I'll call Trump a one-pager. It doesn't matter. Trump supporters are so stupid, they won't even know I'm making fun of him, that he can't read past the page. I'll say that he's so incoherent, he couldn't possibly understand what a quid pro quo is. Doesn't matter. MAGA is so stupid. My own voters in South Carolina are so stupid, they won't even know that I'm making fun of Trump. They're doing it right in front of your face, and they all think it. The only suckers actually left in the room are you if you're a Trump voter. Okay. Yep. All right, guys. Amazing post game. You can hit the join button below if you're watching on YouTube. You can go to tyt.com/join. And we got so many more stories for you guys, including going after Woodward right now.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.